Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, so much for your goodness to your people. Thank you for the rebuilding of the kingdom. We know, Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that it'll cause a great revival. So we put our trust in you, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is going to be Great Earthquakes and Tsunamis, number 3. And I'm going to start with a prophecy given to Miss Sophie, May 28, 2018, called Judgment on the House of God. Yep, that's where it has to begin, right? My daughter, my child, write these words down for me. The time has come now for judgment on the house of God. As I sit on my heavenly throne and look down, I see all the things being done in secret. You men on pulpits and stages, you call yourselves pastors and preachers, yet I did not send you. Some of you have even read warnings that I have given, yet you have not turned from your ways. Mammon is what you refuse to give up for truth. You comfort your followers with a false gospel, compromising my word and fleecing the flock. You are no shepherds, but fools. Do you think I do not know what is said and done in secret? Do you think I cannot strip you naked and take away all of your prosperity with just one whisper? It is time now for me to visit with each one of you in ways that will put fear into your hearts. I will drop you to your knees to repent before me. If you refuse and continue to rebel, you will burn with all those before you that fleeced my flock, stole from me, sold wares, and used my house as a marketplace. You lukewarm, mammon-loving wolves have lived deliciously over the years as my poor got poorer, and as the orphan received no help from you, and as the homeless was forgotten. Instead, you bought fancy homes, cars, taking care of yourselves and your family while the stranger visited your den and gave their last dime to you. My house was to be a house of prayer, not a house of entertainment, selling books, CDs, trinkets. Wolves, you are not mine. You work for your father, the devil, the master of lies. You are the Pharisees of the modern era, teaching doctrines of devils, imparting spirits from the underworld into my children, telling them it is my Holy Spirit. Liars, thieves, adulterers is all you are. Are you ready for my visit? I will catch you unaware. Many of you will perish very soon. Some of you started off well with me, but you too have sold your souls to the papacy. I believe this means as the mother of the harlot churches, right? Because that's what they turned out to be. Continuing. Pastors, preachers, evangelicals following after the false prophet, following his laws and not those that I had ordained from the beginning of time, the beginning of creation. There are very, very few that are still with me, very, very few that have never compromised to appease the masses. These I will protect if they are walking in my will, as well as staying in my will, in their personal lives. This is not the time to walk off your posts or be swayed in a different direction. Stay close to me, as I am the way, and will lead you. I will be with you, instructing you. Feed my sheep and stay in me. To my children, those who go to these dens of thieves and give your hard-earned earnings to, get out now. If you continue following them, you'll end up forfeiting salvation by staying in your lukewarm apathy. If you believe the lies of these men and women who have fleeced you for years, then you too will be thrown into the depths of hell and fire. You too, children, have read warnings and are refusing to come out of her, choosing to burn with her. There will be no excuse. You can give to me as you stand before me when I say, depart from me, I never knew you. Many of you refuse to give up traditions of men, your trick or treat, your false Jesus holidays. You continue to put my son next to idols. My son is the light of the world, and he would never compromise and place himself amongst your idols, nor would I have placed him there. Ashtoreth, Nimrod, and all the multitude of other gods you follow, saying that you are following me. Children, these are not of me, nor have they ever been of me. These are all man-made traditions that my children are not to follow. Stop following Rome and the ways of Rome. The house of God has become a house of spiritual adultery, an adulterous house, a wicked house, promoting abominations to me. Witchcraft abounds, and the Kundalini spirit will take you down to a great fall. Deceiving spirits run these churches with lying spirits. Jezebel has taken over. I am is about to tear these down. And will you go down with her, or will you come out of her and repent before me? The choice is yours. Where is sin being preached in these houses? Where is the true cry of a person's heart in mourning? Where is the contrite heart? Where is the holiness? Where is the true worship and praise, unlike your circus acts? Where is the humble man, woman, and child? I see proud, arrogant, boisterous men and women saying, God wants me happy. He must bless me. He must prosper me. He is here to do my will. Where is the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord? Where is my spirit in you? My spirit is not in you if you are continuing in willful sin and living against my commands. Be ye holy, for I am holy, is a thing of the past. Let us live in the new age. Let us live as we wish, loving our sins. Yes, children, go right ahead. Live as you wish. Live in your filth, and you will perish in all of your sins. Garments that are filthy do not enter my kingdom. Washed in the blood means you must separate yourself from the filth that you are in. Yes, you are filthy before my eyes, yet you think that you are clean. You must be continually washed by my blood. Only your past sins have been forgiven you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that sanctifies you. This is a daily walk. You have made it a one-time event. Those who walk with me know this difficult road. They are not lazy. They come before me, seeking my face, asking to be cleansed daily, reading my word, worshiping and praising me. They know only I can purge and purify. Only I can heal their broken heart. Only I can restore them to wholeness. It takes a lifetime of devotion to me, a commitment to follow me no matter what the cost. Narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life, and these I will lead home. Much joy awaits those who gave up everything for me, for they will reign with me forever. These are my children, and I am their God. You cannot be lukewarm and expect any heavenly rewards. Does my word not say, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm? For these I will spew out of my mouth like vomit. You make no effort to change, to seek, to have a true relationship with me. You live to please your friends and pastors and preachers. Where is this life devoted to me? Yes, I will hold all of you pastors, preachers, evangelists, teachers that have fed my sheep this compromised word guilty. Every soul that goes to hell will be on your head. You too will burn. Now, children, you are also held responsible for everyone that you have brought to these vultures, saying that they are true men and women of God. Come, hear this wonderful lukewarm gospel. It will make us happy. You were to open the Bible, to seek me, to learn. Instead, you believed every lie of prosperity, of there is no sin in us now, of as long as we are good people, we will go to heaven, of there is no hell, of every lie, there is no need to fear me, of every lie that I am has only one side, love, and that I am not a just God, a God of judgment. I say to all, get out, get out, get out. You are all in danger of hellfire. No more watered down, preach gospel to make you feel good. My word was not to make you feel good. It was to teach you who I am and to keep you on the righteous path. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for my true word. I was there at creation. I am your creator. All those in ancient days knew to follow and obey me. Those that decided later to go their own way perished and burned to this day. Obedience is not a suggestion, but a requirement. Obey my commands and live. Disobey and perish. It is time to purge these houses of filth, of liars, of thieves, of abominations, of wickedness, of adulterers. Be ye ready, for I am coming with a fury against you. Enough is enough. Your kingdoms you built for yourselves are about to fall. Your bare nakedness for all to see. All will see that I have been weighing all my houses, and most of you have been found wanting. The scales tipped against you. This year is the year of changes, destruction, the year of sorrows, along with next year. Purging will continue until I take out the evil, the garbage. You will see many fall as I clean house. Repent, I say, for your days are numbered and coming to a close. I am that I am, and will always be the great I am. No more will you profane my house. And this was given to Miss Sophie on 5/27/18, where it says, Israel, put America there. Apply it to America. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. In other words, America. Who have been feeding themselves. Should not shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the choice animals, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, healed the sick, bandaged the injured, brought back the strays, or sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled over them. They were scattered because they had no shepherd, and they became food for every wild beast. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over the entire face of the earth, with no one looking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As sure as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, my sheep have become prey and have become food for all the wild beasts. There was no shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but fed themselves and did not feed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from their hand. I will no longer let them be shepherds. The shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, and I will rescue my sheep from their mouth, so that they will no longer be food for them. Matthew 7:15-18. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Matthew 21:13. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jude 1:22-23. And on some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. 1 John 2:3. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. John 5:10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Proverbs 7:1-3. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. Well, amen. Judgment must begin at the house of God, and so it will. So I want to share this revelation with my thoughts. It's called Kicking the Can Dream. It was given to Dana Coverstone on February 23, 2024. When I had this dream, it had a sense of finality. Well, let me say that the wilderness tribulation is about to start because of these judgments. It is a sense of finality. This dream lasted over a 2-month time period, and the pieces were not always necessarily in sequence, but they fit together during the week of February the 11th. I was walking down the road where I grew up as a kid. I walked off my porch and I grabbed a steel can, which was like a vegetable can, and it appeared to be a spinach can from the 1960s because it had a paper wrapper around it. It wasn't glued or painted on. It reminded me of an old 60s style can, and it had a picture of spinach on it. Well, the cartoon character Popeye, the Sailor Man, ate spinach from a can like this, making his naturally skinny body beef up with huge muscles, making him strong to fight the bullies. And if we Christians would eat the food of the Word, which is healthy for eternal life, we would bear the fruit of Christ. So I started walking down the road in the town where I grew up in Jason, Indiana, on South Meridian Street. From where I lived, I could see a mile and 2/10 up the road at night and see the spotlight, the stoplight. I'm walking towards that stoplight, kicking the can down the road. Over the distance that I was kicking the can, I was getting older. Well, kicking the can down the road represents putting off things that we should do today into the future. That's an old saying, kicking the can down the road. I was probably about 8 or 9 years old in the beginning, walking down the road. As I walked, I was growing and getting older. I was getting older and grayer and losing hair. Well, we're running out of time to partake of the spinach of the world, of the Word, excuse me. You can't save up the manna for another day. As we know, it breeds worms, and you just don't get it. You've missed it. You missed your chance. They had to take a day's manna every day, right? Okay. I kicked the can down the road as far as I could, and I reached the end of the road. I was standing facing an obvious drop-off. There was nowhere further I could go, and there was like a cliff, and I could see the other side. In other words, time is up. Make your choice to become a disciple of Christ or else. There's judgment just ahead. Now, the man that I see in my dreams was standing with his back towards me. I suspect this is Jesus. And he turned and faced me, and he gently tapped his shepherd's staff onto the right side of his head. And then he pointed at me. In other words, pay attention. Judgment is coming. Get on the right side in your mind and repent. Next, I was in my car about to cross the Cumberland River on Highway 90 here in Burkesville, Kentucky. As I cleared the bridge and headed into town, I saw this swarm of what appeared to be locusts. Well, the northern army of Joel 2 was likened to a cloud of locusts devouring the crops that represented God's apostate people. This happened until they reached the righteous bride, Jerusalem. That's where they were fasting and That's where the bride and the groom were revealed. And then God judged them, killing 185,000 of the Assyrian army's mighty men in that night. This attack on the bride city was preceded by an earthquake in verse 10. And when the army was smitten, God brought the latter rain revival, according to Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, history must repeat. So, we are going to see this again. We are seeing this again. We've had many dreams and visions about these locusts and about the Assyrian army and so on, how its inability to take down the bride, but was capable of taking down the rest of what was would be called today the church. So they came up and they hit my car as I slowed to a stop, and they smeared my car with their wings. Their broken wings represent their inability to continue their evil works. They were smitten in Joel chapter 2. And their blood. So the car was smeared with their blood, and that's their own blood. After they had passed by, I pulled over and got out of my car and surveyed the mess. I opened up my trunk, and it was full of boxes of rags. And what's significant about this is a couple of months ago, a guy visited my church on Sunday morning from Missouri, and he had printed some shop rags for the ministry that he was doing. He told me that his trunk was full of boxes of rags. So I said, okay, God, there's something about these rags I need to pay attention to. I began to wipe the mess off of my car with these clean rags. And then I did something I would never do in the natural. I threw the rags on the ground. I'd used five of them. Well, five, as we know, represents grace, and it will wipe them out. It will wipe the enemies out. When they reach a righteous bride, they will get wiped out. And then I continued to drive through the center of town when I saw another swarm, but this swarm was bats. Well, we know bats are clothed in black, representing their dark works. These are the leftist anarchists, the Islamists, the Chinese, the Mexicans, and all those who have come in to fight for the deep state, and which is basically the dragon and the Satanists. And they live in darkness, and they have no eyes to see. So that pretty well identifies them. I stopped my car again, and I felt the bats hit my car with intent to the point that the windows were cracking where they hit. They were denting the wipers and my hood, and after a few minutes, that swarm of bats flew off. I got out of my car and realized that my car was not the only thing damaged. Buildings had broken windows, and there were dead bats on the ground. Let me just say that I believe the anarchists love to break glass for some reason. It's just a big thing with them. And the Alliance is expecting them to do this, and they believe that their military will take them down. There's no doubt in my mind that they will do some real damage to these bats. The blood of the bats and their body parts were strung over the streets and on the vehicles, and the people were coming out of businesses and looking around and trying to figure out what they just had just seen and what had just happened. Yeah, they like to come against businesses and destroy businesses and et cetera, et cetera. I opened my trunk, I grabbed a handful of rags, and began wiping the windows down so that I could see. It took me much longer to wipe off this mess, and I used 10 of these rags, and once again, after I wiped the car, I would just throw them on the ground. I left them on the ground. Well, the blood of the unclean and defiled is on them. 10 is the number of law which they broke. They're lawless. As we know, the deep state is lawless. They do whatever they want, whenever they want, to whoever they want, right? And, of course, the people they're hiring, you know, to come in and make war against us are lawless, too. I inventoried the remaining boxes in the trunk. I was making note of it, so if anything else happens, I've got rags, and it seems that there were at least 100 rags left in my trunk. I think 100% here probably represents the fullness of the ability to wipe them out. I got back into the car and headed down the road. I approached the stoplight, just like here at Brooksville. It was red, and I stopped. I could see a much larger and more sinister cloud or swarm of something headed my way. It covered the entire sky, and it was headed towards me at a high rate of speed. I turned my car around quickly. I did a donut, turning my wheel and headed back towards my house, going at a high rate of speed. But I could see the swarm following me and getting closer as I went. I finally got to my house, and I ran inside, and just as I shut the door, I could hear banging like something was hitting the door from the outside. And the wind began to howl. It picked up to the point that it was making the house shake and move. Could that be an earthquake? Mm-hmm. Then the next thing I saw was I was walking down a big city street, and the few people that were out there were standing right next to the buildings and looking up in absolute fear. They were hiding underneath the awnings and looking up into the sky. And I could not see anything in the dark sky, but I definitely sensed there was something up there, and it was ominous in that regard. I watched as people took off running, and I took off running too, and I kept looking up as I ran. I suddenly saw three large red dragons, and they swooped down holding some kind of fabric in their talons. So I believe this is a fabrication. Satan is in the body of the seven-headed, ten-horned red dragon in Revelation 12. It's a corporate body that he's in. They are members of his body. He is the deceiver of the whole world, the Bible says. The three sects of them are part of the corporate body of deceivers in the mainstream media. All three of them approached the people who were running, and they threw the fabric over them. Well, the fabric represents deception. They are using to veil the eyes of the people. By the way, they're passing on their demons of faction and witchcraft through these lies, through this slander, through the things that they say. We know that because the same thing has happened to us, to come against us. This could well be the mainstream media twisting everything in the deep state's favor. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them." So, all three dragons by themselves were throwing fabric on these people and onto me. It looked like the fabric was alive. It had energy, and it was moving. Well, it's demonic. Slander is demonic. "The slanderer will I destroy," the Lord says, and he has. And when they dropped the fabric on these people, it seemed to tie them to the ground. And I watched as about 10 more people were tied to the ground the same way. Well, the people are being bound by the Satanist lies through the mainstream media and falling under the curse on this world through the loss of faith and unbelief. They became earthly and have no heavenly power through their fear. And then, looking up, I saw that there were more red dragons huddled together in the skies as if literally they were conversing. Well, in the skies, I believe, is talking about the airwaves, right? The media's Operation Mockingbird gives them total agreement because they are ruled by the CIA. They flapped their wings rapidly and aggressively, and one was directing their attention to the earth. Well, only when our eyes are on the heavenly Savior do we have power to dwell in heavenly places in Christ. I reached into my pocket and I grabbed a bottle of oil. And I believe this is representing the Holy Spirit anointing, which reveals all truth and destroys the lies. And I ran to the people that had been tied down, and I poured oil on the fabric the dragons had dropped onto the people. The fabric began to move like it was in pain. It was writhing, it was moving and shifting, and it started to let the people go, and it flew off of them, literally. I remember laying hands on a woman who had brain cancer, and literally her top of her skull was deteriorated. And when I laid hands on her to command this spirit of death and this spirit of cancer off of her, it was moving around under my hand, like trying to get out from under my hand. It moved. Her whole skull was like mush, and it was moving like it was an animal trying to get away. That's what this reminded me of. The fabric didn't have wings, but it just kind of flew off of them like it had been rebuked. Well, you rebuke demons, don't you? And they do leave when you have faith, right? So, being set free from bondage is what this probably represents to demon spirits that use fear and anxiety and all the garbage that the mainstream media throws at you to pervert your thinking and to let demons have authority over you. And then I ran from person to person, pouring the oil on the people who were still held down. The anointing of the Holy Spirit Gospels will set the captives free. We have the oil. We have to use it. The dragons in the sky all screamed. They hissed mercilessly, and then they headed back to the area. The people scattered. They ran and opened doors into some of the buildings, and people were breaking windows to get into businesses to stay safe from these dragons. At this point, though, the Dragons turned into military-style aircraft. Well, who controls the mainstream media and who controls the leftist military? Yes. And I saw them fly, one over the West Coast, one over the Midwest, and one flew over the East Coast. This is the exact places where the fault lines are going to let go, because they've been prepared to let go by the deep state. All three Dragons dropped what appeared to be missiles. They looked like missiles to me, being dropped from military aircraft heading towards the ground in those three places. Well, missiles are not dropped, okay? This is ground-penetrating bombs that are shaped like missiles that go off deep underground, like they have used in our fault line east of us, according to witnesses who saw bombs hitting the ground, going into the ground, and a flame briefly coming out behind where the bomb went in after it blew deep, deep underground. And they saw them going down the fault line where we knew the fault line was, and two people were standing on the mountain watching the whole story as they came back later with helicopters, probably GPS, to see how much movement they got in the fault line. So they've been preparing the faults to go. The Deep State Dragons military have prepared the domino effect of earthquakes in fault zones in these three exact places. And we just shared in this series, but I doubt Dana knew of these revelations. So his revelation fits very well there. They landed with a hard impact and a boom, but they did not explode in the places where they were dropped. In other words, they didn't explode above the ground, because they explode deep underground to move the faults. So it was almost like an impact tremor. There you go. From when these things hit the ground, and it was harsh and it was firm. Well, these harsh tremors will literally tear the country apart. He went on to say they did not explode, in other words, above ground, but the boom was heard. So that's exactly what was seen, you know, east of us on a fault line, east of our valley here. And then I saw crops begin to die in the Midwest, and I saw farmland for sale at less than $100 per acre. Well, I believe this is points to some success by the alliance here and by Trump and the people with him. Bill Gates, or his actor, bought up this farmland to starve the people. But I believe his ill-gotten gain will be given back by executive orders. We'll see. But it has to go back into the hands of the farmers. And I'm sure there is a plan to do that. I saw people leaving their homes in the West with suitcases in hand, and they were walking towards retail businesses like Walmart stores or box stores. Well, guess what? They are closing Walmart stores in record numbers now. I wonder if they're getting prepared. These stores had been converted into apartments. In other words, people displaced from their homes for different reasons of this invasion. And the apartments were not very large at all. The people were being served food bags when they walked in, and they were given directions where to go. And after the thousands of people were in these buildings, an alarm sounded, and an electric fence came up from the ground, and it surrounded the facility. So this is another FEMA trap to depopulate during martial law. So stay home and pray and trust in God. That's the warning here. The one stark thing that stands out that I saw in the dream was that the security and the leaders were all on the outside of the facility, and now they were heavily armed, and they had not been as they had not been that way when the people were going into the building. In other words, they wanted them to feel safe, and then suddenly they sprung the trap. So on the East Coast, I saw a museum, and it was a museum of fiat currency from around the world. That's highlighting that the dollar was gone, he said. Well, it is a digital currency that is taking over, and a new dollar backed by gold and precious metals is on the way and in some places already stationed. Wall Street was totally empty, and the starting bell, which is always hit that triggered when the markets open, looked like it was part of a statue. But it really was more like on a pole. The bell was on this pole, and it was up high enough that no one was ever going to be able to reach the bell at the top to hit it. In other words, there will be no stock market. The stock market will be over. But this square where this bell was on top of that pole or statue was littered with trash, and there were people sleeping on the streets. Burn barrels were keeping people warm, and they were burning boxes of American flags. So the God and Country movement suffered a setback. Anyway, people will turn against the God and Country folks with the help of the mainstream media. So they think they're going to take them completely down, but I got a feeling that it isn't going to happen completely. They were throwing those boxes into the fire, and they were shaking their fists in the air. In other words, angry at God, which justifies his actions against them, right? They were also thanking the dragons for exposing the true nature of America. So a lot of people obviously were taken down by the mainstream media, just as we read earlier, and taken into the demonic stage, which we have known about for years. When people listen to slander, it imparts demons of faction and witchcraft into them. We saw this happening in the political world, and we knew exactly what it was because we are experienced with these. And I saw the dragons were flying over their respective areas, the West, the Midwest, and the East. There it is. And they were watching closely, just like those people were with the helicopters, looking closely to see what they had done, you know. And as we have seen, they are expecting those earthquakes in those exact areas to depopulate and distract from their evils. Then I was back at the end of the road with the man standing right next to the cliff. He told me to kick the can as hard as I could. I took a few steps back, and he faced me with his hands in the air like a referee does, signaling a touchdown. Well, notice that he signaled the touchdown before he kicked the can. The man's arms went straight up like field goal poles, making a goal for me to kick the can over. So, according to this, we have won before we started, because Christ won against the curse on us by grace at the cross. But few know that. That's why they have to believe the lies of the dragon, right? That few know that. The gospel must get out. So this is just like my revelation of the impossible pass of grace to make a touchdown. I didn't know anything about his revelation, and he didn't know about mine, I'm sure. So, not knowing of this revelation, a few days ago, I had a very vivid dream that finished with an open vision. In the dream, I saw a quarterback on one side of the football field. He was way too far from the end zone, but the clock was running down, and they were about to lose the game. Could be the situation we're reading about right here, you know, what we're studying in this revelation. In the end zone was a receiver who saw this as hopeless, and he put his hands over his face and was shaking his head because it was impossible for the ball to reach him. The quarterback reared back and let go with what people used to call a Hail Mary pass. They figured he couldn't make it, so a prayer wouldn't hurt, right? Well, this is where I woke up at this particular point when he reared back to throw this pass. This is where I woke up, and the dream turned into an open vision. And I saw the ball land on the back of the receiver's hands and stick there. The receiver looked over his hands at the ball with a wide-eyed look of shock. So they won an impossible win. And the first thing that came to me after I came out of the vision was, that was total grace, unmerited favor. And they wouldn't have won any other way. Isn't it showing that God is going to put us through an impossible situation and that we can only win by grace through faith? And that's not of yourselves, the gift of God, right? The back of the hands is not where you do your works. Here's the problem. Men's works. They always trust in their own works. That's what the wilderness is all about. It's giving up your works to see God do miracles because you believe what he promises, right? So, who can catch a ball there on the back of your hands, right? Impossible, right? So, back to Dana's revelation here. So I took a few steps back, and I ran towards the can, and I kicked it. It soared right between his arms. He just watched the can go through his hands, and then he turned as it went over the cliff. Uh-oh. Is grace lost? Well, let's see. I walked up beside him, and I realized that the cliff had no bottom to it, and the can was still dropping into the darkness. He just watched it continue to fall. Let me say something about this crevasse that he's talking about here. It's how the New Madrid Fault opened up in a major gap in the earth, making what looked like two separate countries in the previous revelation. Grace appeared to be lost. But this is the time of the man-child reformer's appearance with great grace. Amen. In the time of Jesus, he came, there was a lot of misery, a lot of trouble, a lot of lack of grace. But he gave grace everywhere. And you see, what we've learned in the past is that the time of the New Madrid breaking the country in half is the time of the coming of the man-child ministry. And then he spoke, and he said this, "The world is at the end of the road as they know it, and the reality they deny, which is the true gospel, is going to hit the bottom hard and shock those that don't know. You who are witnesses of mine have but moments because the can has no more road to be kicked down." So it's not a kicking it into the future. Now is the time. That's what he's saying. It's now. We can't kick it into the future any longer. The gospel must go out into the darkness. It's time. The man-childs of our day will begin the revival of the latter rain as Jesus, the man-child, did the former rain. So, again, the man speaking, "Focus and reach and lean on my spirit. Stay filled with the fire and know my word and fortify yourselves with it and in it. The sky is falling, but you must help catch those who are falling with it. I'm coming quickly, so stay on the road and bring others with you. I suddenly heard the can hit the bottom. The sky went dark, and clouds rolled in, and thunder started rolling up from where the can had gone over the cliff." In other words, an earthquake. "I'm seeing all the things in the air, but the thunder was coming up from where the can had gone over the cliff." Yeah, the earthquake. So this crevasse is like the one in the earthquake made at the New Madrid. And then a huge lightning strike revealed the landscape with fields of harvest. Okay, fields of harvest is a pretty good subject here because that's what it's going to bring. But the lightning strike is interesting too because that seems to be something that was in history. This huge lightning strike could come from the flyby of Planet X. A major cause of the quakes is Planet X, so it's not unusual to find it here showing up again. So after the judgments, the greatest harvest of souls will come when the man-child ministry is anointed. Jesus started the harvest in his day, and the man-child will start it in this day. Jesus started the revival in his day, and the man-child is going to start it in this day. And this great trouble, this great troubling time is what's going to cause people to know they need God. "And I saw parked tractors and parked combines, and I yelled out that I need some help over here because those fields of harvest weren't going to be taken care of with parked tractors and combines." Yeah, well, there isn't much of a harvest out there, and they designed it that way in the physical because they wanted to kill off people. But the harvest that's going to come is the most important harvest. It's the harvest of souls. "And I yelled out, I need some help over here. And I saw people one by one begin to come. And that's when I woke up." Well, when Jesus, the man-child, came, the revival harvest began. And so it will be this time. He woke up. And many others need to wake up. And it's time to tell your neighbors what's coming and get them prepared and let them know that, you know, there's one thing that's going to save them. Grace. The grace is going to save them. Repent and get the grace out in Jesus' name.